And I'm so happy that tonight there are going to be those who want to just give a word of thanks to Jesus. I said this afternoon, depending on how many of you are going to speak, we'll have to keep it short. But we want to give praise to God. And we want to take opportunity for that. I remember last year when we did this, wasn't that wonderful? When we had testimony time last year. Wow, it was great. So I'm expecting that it's always good. What does it say? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let all the people praise Thee. Let all the people praise Thee.
I want to praise the Lord for His great, great love. It meant so much to me that the Lord ever saved me. I could have been destroyed in World War II if my parents had stayed in Germany. But I'm so thankful that He brought us to this land at the right time, brought us to Ridgewood, and there, why the Lord saved my mother and saved our whole family, and it was wonderful to know Jesus. I'm so thankful. I can't thank God enough for all the wonders of His love. Oh, when we sing that song about His crown of thorns and His hands that were pierced, it always brings tears to my eyes because Jesus paid such a great price that we might be redeemed, and that we might love Him, and that we might be holy as He is holy. There's been a verse in 2 Corinthians 5 that has been such a blessing to me, and He changed me again and again. I remember the first summer that I came here, where Jesus made real to me about the two on the way to Emmaus. Jesus Himself drew near, and He walked with them, and He opened to them the Scriptures. And that year, why the Lord began to open to me the Scriptures, and they became my own, why God would just speak to me through His Word. And those words are written upon my heart indelibly, and I'm thankful for the Word of God. And this word, the last verse of 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God."
Yes,
God. Oh, what a transaction.
Hallelujah.
It's really not fair to the Lord. But oh, I'm so thankful. It's not only me that He saves, but everyone puts their trust in the Lord. And here, He was made sin.
Yes.
Who knows sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God. Recently, Gertie called me and she said, this one verse is so wonderful to me. And she read that verse to me. And I said, it's precious to me too. I love it. And I'm so thankful that Jesus came not only to make us righteous, because we don't have any righteousness of our own, but He wants to clothe us with Himself more and more. And He wants to give us Himself in such a way that we abdicate and He comes in a great way. And I thought, when Jesus really fills us with His Holy Spirit, He gives us, instead of mourning and Zion, He gives us beauty for ashes. He gives us the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I'm thankful for that garment of praise. Well, I'm thankful that brings Jesus in a greater way, the light of His presence and it drives all darkness out when we begin to praise God. Yeah. It's a real weapon that we need in this wonderful Christian life. And as we praise Him, why, God's Spirit comes into us and He possesses us more and more. And I'm so thankful for that. And we need that because we don't have it in ourselves. And He gives victories through praise that no other force can give us. You can go and get comfort from people or counselors and whatnot, but all the wonderful comfort of the Holy Spirit through praise, the oil of joy. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Why, even in times of terrible distress in my life, my God has taken me through because I could praise Him. Oh, and He gives us His righteousness. It's not ours, but it's His. And it says that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And later in that 61st chapter of Isaiah, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. And oh, I'm so thankful that we could come to Jesus every day and ask Him to clothe us with Himself. Oh, I'm so thankful for that wonderful verse that I read from 2 Corinthians. He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. When we sang this morning that wonderful song, Holy, 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 I said, oh God, make me holy as You are holy. God put such a cry into my heart. Oh Lord, we are not holy people. We're surrounded by people that talk their own, whatever they want. And oh, there's so much sin in this world. But oh, I want to be holy. And only God's righteousness can fill us. And I want more of that righteousness all the time. It's wonderful when He comes in and He takes over. And oh, I want Him to possess me more and more.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For me, He died. For me, He lived. And everlasting life and light He freely gives.
I just wanted to say a few things, and you know, I'm just so thankful to be here again. I try to come here every year, and just my tank filled up. I know some of you might be going off to college, and you know this is reality. And now when you go to some of your professors, they might be atheists, they might be agnostics, they're going to say, that's your reality, and I have my reality, and everybody has their own little realities, you know. And especially the atheists, they say, well, God doesn't exist. Well, you know what they're doing? They're denying reality. They're not in touch with reality. Instead of the Christians being a little cuckoo, I think actually it's the atheists that have a problem. Because this is reality. And young people, I just want to encourage you, as you go back to school, be encouraged, because you're in touch with reality. This is real. This is real. And isn't it wonderful to come to a place where you sense the presence of God? That's real.
Yes.
That's real. I think of that old song, It's Real, It's Real, Praise God, It's Real. It's Pentecostal blessing, and I know it's real. And even it's sad to say that so many of the Pentecostal denominations, you don't even see a move of the Holy Spirit anymore. You know, there's no one that speaks in tongues. They just act, you know, everybody acts like, you know, I don't know, we go come to church, we get entertained, we go home. But, you know, whatever happened to the people who used to run around the church and, holy roller, what's that? We don't even know what that is now. We talk about it. But in the old days, it was real. And it's real here, and it's real. It can be real in your soul. It can be real if you give Jesus a chance. And you just go back to school. You be bold. Be bold in God and be confident, because it's real.
I was thinking of that chapter 2, Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 28 and 29. But the verse, and I've been thinking of fellowship. I love that scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:9. Faithful is he who has called us into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that the Lord doesn't just save us from hell. You hear so much preaching about that. You know, you get the impression that, you know, God just saves us from the consequences of sin, saves us from hell, and then kind of leads us to struggle. But that's not what he does. He wants to be our friend, and he wants to be intimate with us, and he wants us to go after him. I heard somebody say the other day to me, God doesn't force himself on you. I says, I know, but I'm so thankful that there's not one verse of scripture that doesn't stop me from forcing myself on him. I think he would like that. He loves that. And I sometimes pray that way. God, help me. I know you're such a beautiful. I call him the supreme and beautiful gentleman of the universe. Because he invites. There's so much in the Bible about Christ inviting us to come into his fellowship and to enjoy his presence. There's nothing better than that, as our brother said, reality. It says in Psalm 16 that in his presence,
yes,
fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You can't get any better than that. Sometimes my friends at work, I'm a guidance counselor, come drinking with us. You know, you have to have a life. And, you know, get a life. And you have to have a life. And I says, have something better.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes they even tease me about camp. You know, don't go to pilgrim camp. Go to a resort where you can meet somebody with this life. And I says, you know, there's no better life than a pilgrim camp because Jesus' presence is there. And he satisfies like nothing can. His pleasures in sin for a season, but the joy and the satisfaction and the peace and the fruit of the Spirit that Christ gives. I'm so sorry that I missed the fruit of the Spirit. I had to go back to work, but somebody told me about it. I'm not going to embarrass you. Somebody told me about it, and thank God he took notes and kind of filled me in a little bit. But the verse that I was really thinking of is in the Song of Solomon. I love this book because it talks about intimacy with Jesus Christ. And you can see, I don't think anybody can understand how much God loves us, but you can see something of it in this book. And in chapter 5, it says, I am come into my garden, my sister. That's our hearts. Jesus wants to enter our hearts and see his image there. Wants to see his working there. Not like that fig tree that he had to curse. You know, it was big, strong, had beautiful leaves, but there was no fruit. And Jesus is looking for fruit. And he said, my spouse, I love that word. He wants us to be his bride. Makes us his bride. We read in Revelation that the bride of Christ has adorned herself and made herself ready as a bride adorns herself of a bridegroom, like our sister said. You have to get that righteousness and that beauty from him, and he offers it. That's what really thrills my soul about this verse. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I love this verse here. There's so much in this chapter about seeking the Lord. And then it says, I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. You know, that reminds me of the Gospel of John when Jesus says, you know, I'm not just calling you my servants. I'm showing you what I'm doing. I'm showing you what I'm about to do. There are many things I can't reveal to you yet because you wouldn't be able to bear them. But I'm showing you as much as I can because I want you to be my friends. I want you to be my family. I want you to be my bride. I want you to be my intimate friends. It says in Hebrews, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Behold me and the brethren, the brothers that thou hast given me. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey, and I have drunk my wine, my milk. O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. And the Lord invites us to drink of his Spirit. I've been hearing so much about the Holy Spirit in these days, and I'm so thankful that Jesus, it's so sweet how the Lord opens his heart to us in this verse. He wants to show us what he's doing. He wants to be intimate with us. You know, I can't get over that. It's so beautiful.
Jesus, thank you.
He wants to have intimacy with us. And further on, you see, he's knocking. She doesn't want to open up. She says, I put off my coat. I'm going to get my feet dirty. And that really spoke to my heart, because I thought, do I see Jesus when it's just convenient for me? When it doesn't interrupt my comfort zone? Or do I seek him all, do I want him all the time the same way he wants me? Now, I'm still working on that. But he wanted to have fellowship. He wanted to come in. He wants to have fellowship with us all the time. That's such a wonderful thing. He knocks. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, if any woman, if any boy, any girl opens the door of their heart, I will come in and I will sup with them. I'll have fellowship with them. That's such a wonder. I still can't get over it. Going to be saved 32 years at the end of October. I got saved on Halloween. And I still can't. I mean, every day I wake up and I think, I can't believe the God of the universe is my Father. I do believe it. It's too good to be true, but it's true. And God help me to understand it better. Well, that's been my prayer these days. Make it more real to me, because you're so wonderful. You've loved me so much, as our sister said. I think that too a lot. What an exchange. Jesus gave us so much, and he took our broken lives, our sin, nailed our sins to the cross, covered us with his blood, covered us with his beautiful robes of righteousness, and loves us and wants us to love him. I was thinking of that verse in connection with her not wanting to get out of bed, but Jesus was testing his disciples here in verse 29. It says, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made, see, the Lord was testing them. He made like he was going to go further. And he made as though he would have gone further. Now they kind of pressed against him. I love that. I pray that sometimes. I say, Lord, help me to press hard against you. I don't see any place in the scripture where you don't put any restrictions on me forcing myself. You wouldn't force yourself on me. Sometimes I wish you would, because I think I would love that also. Because you could never force yourself on me enough, Lord. You're always welcome. You are always welcome. You can wake me up anytime you want, and I'll have you as my lover and as my partner and as my savior and as my friend and as my big brother, and I'll have fellowship with you. Help me not to be one that I'd rather sleep, Lord, than have you just now. Or I'd rather talk to somebody. You ever try to talk to people and you see they're not there? Maybe you have a spiritual truth you want to share with them, or maybe you're trying to help them because they have wrong ideas, and you can see they're not really, you know, they're talking to somebody else, or their mind is, and it's frustrating. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can do that to the Lord. He's trying. He's always on the giving hand. He's always trying to give us something of his nature. It says in the Bible, he wants us to be partakers of his divine nature. I believe that's what that verse in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, first verse, is talking about. Come, he has that sweetness, that fragrance of his presence that he wants to bless us with. He wants to take us deeper all the time. I'm so thankful for that. A God that saved us, and every day, it says he daily loadeth us with benefits, with spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that verse. But it says that he blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he has so many spiritual blessings for us. And it says here that they constrained him, saying, abide with us. And they were insisting that the presence of Jesus stayed with them. And I love that. I said, what a difference between that girl in the Song of Solomon. I don't want to get my feet. Some of us, we don't want to get our shirts dirty. You know, if we have to roll up our sleeves and do something for the Lord, no way. You know, I'll serve you if it's convenient for me, Lord, but if I have to go out of my way and get my feet dirty and my shirt dirty and get persecuted and go through all these inconveniences, you know, Lord, when it's comfortable for me, then I'll serve you. That's not good. God wants us to love him so much. Look at what he went through. Look at what they did to him, that he might have us. that we might have him. I don't think anything he can ask of us is too much. It says that in Romans 12. It's our reasonable service to present our bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord. The least that we can do after all he's done for us. And they constrained him. I'm going to make this shorter. I'm sorry, you said short. And I'm still learning that word. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. What better company can we have? Some people say, I feel so sorry for you, you live alone. I said, I have the best company in the world. But we have to open up our hearts to him. We have to show the Lord that we want him. Sister Greeley kind of, I took her shopping once when I used to come up here with Andy in the winter, and Brother Gardner, Sister Gardner was still alive. And I said to her, it was Easter. And I said, Sister Greeley, the Lord is wonderful. She said to me, you remember Greeley's saga? Beautiful person, lovely, beautiful saint of God. She says, we have to show the Lord that we want him. We have to go after him. He loves that. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the night that Sister Pearl preached on this verse. We were talking about that at the table the other day. How the disciples insisted on the presence of Jesus abiding with them. Tarry with us, Lord. What are you doing? You can't leave us. You've got to stay with us. We have to show him that we want him. We have to insist on his presence all the time. Not just when it suits us. He that hates his life. Jesus said, I was reading that this morning. That hates his life in this world shall find it unto life eternal. And what better life to find than to have the presence of Jesus? That is life. I come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. What better life? We talked about blessings today, but what better life than to have Jesus himself? His presence is so satisfying. May God help me and all of us to press hard against him, to constrain him. What did Ruth say to Naomi? Entreat me not to leave thee. My God shall be, thy God shall be my God. Thy people shall be my people. Without liest, I will lie. When you die, I'll die. And that happened. The Bible says when Jesus died, we were crucified with him. The old man was buried. It was crucified. And then we're risen now to walk in newness of life. Paul says, that's why, don't be a debtor to the flesh. We don't owe the flesh a thing now. Now we're free to serve the living and the true God. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for my pastor, who's been so patient with me, and for Brother Graver. And my pastor's dad, of course. He always loved Brother Edwin. He's the reason I wanted to go to Ridgewood when I first walked in. When I was saved from an unsaved family. I just heard him preach once, and I was hooked. Thank God we can get addicted to something good. But I'm so thankful for this camp family. I'm thankful for this camp. I'm thankful for all of you that you've come such a long way to seek the Lord. I love to see people like yourselves. It's a privilege to be here with all of you because you're hungry for Jesus and you're a blessing to me. You're an example to me. And I appreciate that deeply, what you've allowed God to do in you. Just love all of you and I'm thankful for all of you. And most of all, I'm thankful for Jesus, my Savior, who laid down his life for me, for all of us, who made that sacrifice. And now he just wants to take us deeper, and I'm so thankful for that. I love him tonight.